After U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions cited scripture to defend the Trump administration's immigration policies, many religious leaders spoke out in response. We wanted to hear from representation from our own community, so we reached out to Roman Catholic Bishop Kevin Rhodes, and he joins us by phone.
This is Bishop Kevin Rhodes. I'm the Bishop of Fort Wayne, South Bend, the Catholic Diocese, and I've been here in Indiana for the past 8.5 years. I was previously the Bishop of my home diocese in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
And the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend is a little bit unique in that it's kind of spread out. It's not really just one metropolitan area, it's two. And then you have a number of parishes. I remember speaking with Bishop Darcy a number of years ago, and he said it was almost like two separate dioceses because the communities of Fort Wayne and South Bend are very different.
That's true. And yeah, we're 14 counties of Northeast Indiana. And it does sometimes, I mean, feel like two dioceses. We have two cathedrals, and we have offices both in Fort Wayne and South Bend, though the main offices are in Fort Wayne. And we have 81 parishes and something like 40 schools. So it's a lot of places to visit.
We're specifically going to talk today a little bit about the statement on the immigration issues. Obviously, since you issued that statement, there have been some changes, but yet there have been some problems that still seem to persist. So let's talk a little bit about your statement and what you were trying to say to your parishioners.
I've spoken quite a bit about immigration through the years, together with my brother bishops throughout the country, and Pope Francis, of course, has been a leading speaker on behalf of migrants around the world. But this most recent statement was especially important because, you know, we have been advocating a long time for comprehensive immigration reform. And we see it as a moral issue, an issue of justice as well as compassion. But the most recent thing was very disturbing to us because of the separation of children from their parents. There have been a lot of injustices in this area, but this was especially problematic as a way of enforcement. We do believe, I need to say this, and I believe I said it in my statement, that nations do have a right to control their borders. So it would be incorrect to say, oh, the Catholic Church says there should just be open borders. We don't hold that position. We believe it's a complex issue. We believe that people, number one, have a right not to migrate. And that's where we need to get to the root causes of the migration crisis, where people are fleeing war, violence, gangs, insecurities in their own countries that need to be addressed. So that's something that we can't lose sight of. And then we also believe, the Catholic Church teaches, that people do have a right to migrate when their lives are in danger or where they cannot provide for themselves or their families. And then the third thing is a right of a nation to control its borders. Our position regarding the situation of the United States is that we should offer more opportunities for legal immigration, asylum for sure, for those whose lives are in danger. And we see that in the present situation, the situation of people coming from the Northern Triangle in Central America, the three countries where there's been such a breakdown of the society because of gangs and drug trafficking, and people's lives are in danger in, you know, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. So even though we have a right to control our borders, we bishops think that we also have a responsibility to provide safe haven for people who are in such desperate straits. So we believe there needs to be a more generous immigration policy that provides more legal avenues for people to come to our country. So with that perspective, you know, since there isn't that, we have people crossing illegally, which is obviously problematic. But we have to think of their circumstances, you know, why? And because of these desperate situations, it's very understandable, I think. Now, not everyone, but a good number of people who really are are fleeing because of desperate need to leave. And so I think we have to have compassion for these people. And I think one of the worst things is to penalize them in such a, what we consider an immoral way, by separating parents from their children. Obviously, if it's discovered that these children are being victims of human trafficking or something, that's a whole other story. But we're talking about parents. So hopefully that's our perspective on this. And, and we were grateful and happy that President Trump rescinded that policy of separation. However, as we know, at least at this point, that separation continues, even though they're trying to correct it because of the executive order. For whatever reason, there have been delays in reuniting children with their parents. And we believe that obviously causes trauma, psychological trauma, and is really harmful to the well-being of children.
A number of those countries that you mentioned are or were predominantly Roman Catholic. Is there a role that the American Catholic Church can play in working alongside the government here and the governments there to try to mitigate some of those reasons you mentioned that people are fleeing those communities?
Definitely. And just as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, I'm a member of the Board of Catholic Relief Services, and we have projects and programs in those three countries where we're quite involved with helping these families and young people, helping them attain a livelihood so that they can support themselves. And also we have peace-building efforts down there, helping young people to not get involved in drugs or gangs. So we're quite active down there, but in some ways it feels like a losing battle at this point. As much as we try to help, what we find is some of the young people, they don't want to get involved in this stuff. They don't want to get involved in drugs. They don't want to be part of a gang. But they're threatened if they don't. They're threatened to be injured or even killed. And we've seen some tragic situations where that has happened. And that's why their migrating is something necessary. And so it is a bigger problem that obviously the governments down there, they've lost some of the civil control, and that's where the United Nations, United States, and others can help to stabilize that region. But right now, it's really a mess.
When we talked at the beginning about the differences in the diocese, there are also differences in the makeup from an ethnic and socioeconomic standpoint. You have probably some sections of the diocese where the travel ban and the separation of families and things like that are more welcome than other sections of the diocese or other parishes specifically. How do you as a pastor convey to your pastors how to minister at this really polarized time?
You know, that polarization unfortunately does creep into the church. Although my experience is that the significant majority of Catholics are in agreement with the bishops on our public policy positions on immigration. But there are some who disagree, and I encourage our pastors to try to help to educate our parishioners on Catholic social teaching, that this isn't for us primarily a political issue, it's a moral issue. And I think sometimes people can be more formed or influenced by the media. I mean, in that sense, the media of the right or the left, rather than by church teaching. So we do have to, in a sense, do a better job, I think, educating our people and speak out on this issue. And we have many migrants and refugees right here in our own diocese. We have 14 parishes right now where we have Hispanic communities and Hispanic apostolate, masses in Spanish, etc. So we have many immigrants from Mexico primarily, but from other countries as well. As you probably know, our own Catholic Charities throughout the past decade has resettled a lot of the Burmese in the Fort Wayne area, but we've also resettled refugees from other countries. That number of refugees that we resettle has been cut by more than half because of the increase in restrictions. The U.S. is accepting fewer refugees, and we're really saddened by that because there's such great need. Because of, there's like 65 million displaced persons in the world, refugees. And, it's a crisis, of course, in Europe with refugees from Africa. So anyhow, there's a lot in that. But back to your original question, this is an important issue for our pastors, and I do encourage them and all of our parishes especially to be welcoming to refugees and immigrants and to work together to help them in their adjustment to the United States. And, and it's really been great to see the outpouring of love and support of many of our parishes.
When you mentioned the Catholic Charities, Fort Wayne has prided itself for a long time as being kind of that little tiny Midwestern city of immigrants and refugees, in part because of the work of Catholic Charities with the Burmese, and I believe Catholic Charities was also involved with refugee resettlement from the Vietnam War era here. Does that make your job of speaking to these issues easier, or is it something that you want to keep in people's mind that this is who we are here, this is what we do here?
For me, it's a proud part of our American heritage, really, is, the Statue of Liberty. People who flee persecution or war, poverty, and who've been welcomed here, going back to the very beginning of our nation. And really, all through history, I think especially the 19th century, a lot of the immigrants to Fort Wayne who came from Germany and Ireland and other places, the turn of the 20th century in the South Bend area, a lot of Eastern Europeans and Polish and Italians. But each wave of immigration, there's always been a kind of a nativist element and opposition, even back then. Some of it back then was anti-Catholic bigotry. So there's been that prejudice against immigrants that's throughout our history. But really, our nation on the whole, though, has been very welcoming to immigrants. So that phenomenon, I would say, is, we still see it today. I just think it's part of the goodness that we're called to have, that we don't just think of ourselves and our own economic prosperity, but that, and this is part of the gospel, of course, that we're supposed to have a special love for the poor and the needy and those who are vulnerable. And the refugees and so many migrants in the world today are the most vulnerable. So I think, we'll be judged on this. Jesus said, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." So we have, this all goes back to a lot of biblical teachings about welcoming the stranger in our midst, the alien, even in the Old Testament. And then we also think of how the Holy Family, and I mentioned this in my statement, they were migrants. When Herod was attempting to kill the baby, the child Jesus, they had to migrate to Egypt, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, for safety. So it really is part of our faith.
Anything you would like to add on the topic of immigration?
This is such a controversial issue, and as you mentioned, there is a polarization in our country and a lot of yelling going on between different sides on this issue. I'd like to see that toned down so that we can really work on good solutions and work together. And even if there is disagreements on specific policies, that there be a civility, because right now we're not getting anywhere. It's getting frustrating because, this has been a problem for many, many years, and we haven't been able to get the two main political parties together on it. But I want to encourage people to really think more deeply about the moral side of this. For those who are Christians, it would be especially looking at what Jesus teaches about, welcoming the stranger, etc. Because in the end, we're all going to be judged. I think, we're called to be people with not to look at people who are fleeing other countries and demonizing them for breaking the law of the United States coming here if they come here illegally, but to try to understand the difficult straits that many of these families are in and why they're trying to leave. I think sometimes that if I was a husband and father of a family in some of those places, I would do anything to try to bring them to safety and security. Or if we're in there, if I was in dire poverty, to provide for them. So I think we need to have, I don't know, a more, you know, to see the human face here, to see and not just look at this as numbers or as statistics, but to see the real human face. I have met myself personally so many migrants and refugees, and listening to their stories, it can be heartbreaking what they've been through. And I don't think we can look the other way and say, well, let them fend for themselves.
Bishop Kevin Rhodes, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. You're welcome, and have a good weekend.